Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wellness Works with Centria. I'm so glad to have you all today. I hope that your day has been good thus far, and if not, make tomorrow a better one. I just want to remind everyone, especially if you're new to the radio blog here, that Wellness Works focuses on at-ease wellness and resource centers offerings and services here in Baltimore, Maryland, and that we also feature other businesses and other guests in the wellness industry. And also from time to time, we will feature people who are just simply active in the community. For instance, if you go back a few episodes, you'll be able to listen to a episode with Mr. Todd Marquez. He's a musician, bass clarinetist here in Baltimore area, but he also runs a community organization where he is empowering our youth and adults and young adults as well to be an active, productive part of the community, and also to perfect their craft in music or to just learn in general if they ever had any interest in becoming a musician. So that is what we do here if you're not familiar with this platform. And so if you did not get to listen in to the very first episode for this year, and that would have been 2 weeks ago because I air the second and the fourth week of each month. In the past, I was doing the second and the fourth Wednesday of each month, but you know, you got to stay flexible. That's one thing that I learned, and it also allows me the opportunity to link up with people that I may really want to link up with by being more flexible. So again, the second and the fourth weeks of each month, I will be on or I will present an episode that will have been uploaded for you to enjoy. And so just to catch you up to speed, so administratively, so At-Ease Wellness is located, as I stated, in Baltimore, Maryland, and the number that you can contact or the numbers that you can contact to receive information on services is 443-204-2251 or 410-426-8680. And the ladies there at Body and Soul, which is a hair salon at 6401 Hawford Road, will be able to schedule you if you're going to be meeting me at that location. And then if not, you could call the other number, the 443-204-2251, and we will decide what location you should best meet me at, depending on where you're coming from. So we want to make sure that we're accommodating you so that your time is that much easier and that much more enjoyable, okay? So traveling is something that can add additional stress, so we want to minimize that if at all possible, okay? So that's administrative, that's out the way. And so we're going to move on to, and that's how I'm kind of falling over myself because I'm excited to get into the second portion or the final part of the dream that I was sharing with you all the first episode of this year. So I will catch everyone up to a degree. You can go back and listen to the first episode if you didn't catch it. So basically, I stopped where I was describing the character's
moral compass, because she still had a moral compass. And I also had let you guys know that I had filled in the blanks where it made sense to fill in the blanks. So those blanks were spaces in the dream where there was obviously a time lapse. So I filled in those spaces, and that's why I was just calling it a story created from a dream, because of those embellishments, as they were just my best guesses, and they just made it flow better. So moving from that point now, we're going to go straight where I left off. And I'm just going to give you guys the details of the latter half of the dream. I'm not going to add any embellishments. I really don't feel like it needs any embellishments for the latter half. And so you can let me know, call in once I finish. You can inbox me. Let me know what you think, especially if you got to hear both parts of the dream, and let me know what you think about it in general. Like, what message do you hear? Did you hear or see just what I did, you know, something on a surface level, or do you see something deeper, or, you know, what are your thoughts? Because as I said, I will be sharing three other dreams with you all in the future. I may or may not break them up into two parts depending on the dream and the content and whether or not I have someone on with me dialoguing about it directly as we go through it. So just keep those things in mind. And so here we go. Okay, so when we left off, I was letting you know that the young lady, at this point, she's a full-grown woman because, like I said, about 5 years had passed, and at this point, about 10 years have passed. And what was noticed in the dream was that there were, quote-unquote, handlers with her as she was traveling. And so where the dream picks up is that she was at work, and she was about to leave. Well, she wasn't about to leave, like leave for the day, but she was just going to go out and pick some things up for the work site. And as she approached the door, she saw that this lady that was passing with a gentleman, that the gentleman had begun to attack her. So she goes outside. She recognizes that this is someone who has a full mutation occurring. And so she responds and mutates herself to a degree, because we have already established that her mutation is not as severe. She can think fully through everything that she's doing. So she goes out and she's like, okay, I got to subdue this guy. That's really all that's in her thought process. She really doesn't want to have to terminate him. So she just fights with him, gets him subdued on the ground. He's like, you know, a combination of angry and frustrated and kind of whiny, because he's just hungry. So the ladies that work there come to the front, and they're like looking and just like, what's going on? And I motion to them to bring out my food, as we established was like mostly fish, right? And so they bring it out, and I motion to him, because as we also established last, when you're in that state, you can't really speak. So I motion to him with the food so that he can eat, and he starts eating the fish, and he's starting to calm down because, you know, he's getting his flesh in. And then I slowly start to back off of him, and the lady that was walking with him was like, you know, kind of perplexed, but also like having that look like, you know, is it going to be okay? What do I need to do? And so I motioned to her and let her know, hey, he's, you know, he's hungry. So, like, he's really excitable. He's up here. And she's kind of looking at me like, but how are you? Are you hungry? And I'm looking at her and I'm letting her know, like, I'm up here, but not quite that high. I'm just responding to the situation. And so as I'm backing up, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, okay, you know, are you doing better? Are you okay? And I'm, like, telling her, you know, I'm, like, smiling, like, you know, okay, the fish is working, you know, like, motioning to her, like, you know, have him eat this, you know. And then I go let him up, and unfortunately, he was bluffing, and ultimately we end up fighting again, and I jump on his back and basically get a leg lock around his upper body, and then I just, you know, break his neck. So, which is not an easy thing to do, so don't let anybody ever make you think that breaking somebody's neck to where you kill them is easy, because it is not. Do not believe the movies, okay? So, in any case, the things that I notice around me while this is all happening is there are a few people that work up the street. They're always standing outside, so they're watching, and they're, like, half freaked out. And then my handlers are watching, and, you know, to see if they need to intervene or just, you know, what my behavior is, if there's any change in my behavior, because he's drawn blood from me, I've drawn blood from him before I got him subdued. And so then I have these flashes of being, like, in a facility, and it's those flashes are like what happened in the past. So, like, but I just had these flashes of being in a facility where I was being observed, and I was, like, sleeping. It was always dark, and I had this, just this one, like, neon, I should say ultraviolet type light that I would see there. And then I also saw, when I was talking to the lady, I was trying to make sense of this in general, because I also saw when I was talking to the lady that, like, it was like a flash to, like, their home, and there was, like, a really large dog cage, and he was, like, in it, and that's where he was, like, being kept. So I don't know if that's, like, something I was being shown, like, her thinking while I was talking to her, or if this had happened before and she just was caught off guard and that's what they were doing. So, but yeah. So that's the end of the dream. And yeah, let me know what your thoughts are, because I just thought that that was all, like, very interesting, especially to end with a kill, and then it's like, okay, But, like, I wasn't in trouble or anything. Like, I knew I wasn't in trouble.
It was like, okay, on to the next thing. But that was, like, you know, the first kill in that circumstance. But then you could, I don't know if my brain did this or it was just part of the flashes where it was like, okay, like you saw like this panel, but you couldn't see who was on it. And they were like, okay, that's how we'll handle this problem. And so yeah, it kind of ended right there.
Anyway, let me know what you think about that. And like I said, I'll be sharing three other dreams that I've had. They were not as relatable to movies as this one was, obviously. So don't look for them to be that way because they totally were not. However, a couple of them I can strongly say did have strong influences. Was clearly one of the ways my mind and body were processing the intense emotion of last year. Okay, so moving forward, I would love to have local artist music feature per episode. So if you have a song that you'd like to share, please send it my way, inbox me, and I will upload it to share in the future. And I will also be slowly changing the format of this again as needed and or as I feel moved on that particular day. So I'd also like to know, with 2021 coming in, who has made real effort to do more self-care? If you've made an effort to do more self-care, inbox me and let me know what that is. I'm kind of curious to know what people are doing now to take care of themselves and their families, since a lot of us are still restricted for the most part. And then the last thing I would like to share today, talking about restrictions. So there was a board meeting today for the massage therapist and here in the state of Maryland. So the board met, and a group that I'm in, they streamed it for us. So that we can stay informed. And I came in where they were having conversation. I didn't actually get to see the actual board meeting. My husband said he got to see a little bit of the actual board meeting, and he turned it off. And it was because it was about, I think I touched on it also, again, the first episode of this year. It was in reference to whether or not RMPs should be grandfathered in as LMT. So when I got on to the feed, the meeting was over, but the hostess and the other two co-hosts were having the conversation in reference to why are we even having this conversation? Why was it even a topic with the board today? If the survey was completed and people overwhelmingly agreed that it was okay to grandfather in these RMPs, if they had a certain amount of school hours from the beginning, as well as if they had certain CE's already completed, and, you know, there are other details to that. But the bottom line is the meeting where that was concerned clearly did not go well. And I really felt very disheartened coming in on that conversation. The frustration level was so high between the therapists that were speaking. And my only suggestion was take this feed. I should say my final suggestion was take this feed with all this feedback that you have on this subject and even the video if necessary and present it to the board and let them know the damage and the hurt that they're causing because of an elitist mentality that seems to be prevalent among certain LMTs. The overwhelming thing that seemed to continue to be stated is that somehow the RMP therapists or practitioners, because that's what the P stands for an RMP, that those persons would do harm if they were allowed into a medical setting. Now, mind you, any medical setting that you go into has its own rules, regulations, stipulations, and training. If I, as an LMT, go into a new work environment that happens to be in a healthcare setting or a medical setting or a flat-out hospital setting, I'm still going to have to learn whatever it is that is different from what I've already been doing. So I don't see where that's any different for the RMP. Some of the comments that were made would make you think that RMPs aren't working on human bodies, as if they were working on a whole nother biological entity altogether. So I'm really trying to figure out where the mindset is, or if the need to feel superior is so strong that it's blinding people to understanding and realizing that we're all working on a human body. We all got the same education, for the most part, give or take some hours. We all do the same continuing ed. And as I stated before, out of that group that I am a part of, every RMP takes their job very seriously, and a lot of them have taken the specialties that even some LMTs have not taken that are flat-out healthcare medical-related, like oncology, massage, geriatric, adaptive massage. All of these CE courses go into what's necessary to function in a medical setting. So, what do you guys think about this? Why is there a problem? The only problem I can see is a need for division out of a false sense of superiority. So on the RMP side, their argument is, what makes you better than me? If you could have majored in basket weaving and still received an LMT. So with that argument, how can you really give a good argument against that if the only criteria at the time when they were handing out LMTs versus RMPs, when you leave school. And for me and my colleagues in that group, as far as the hosting, we've all been in the field for about 10 years now. So rolling back 10 years, at that time, as long as you had a degree or college credit, 60 college credits or more, and actually had an associate's or better, then you could leave school with an LMT. And so the reasoning for that was it showed that you knew how, I had a commitment to studying and research and all that goes along with being a college student. So it was automatically implied that if you did not have a degree, that you didn't have the same level of commitment to learning or to education. That's basically what was being said, which is completely untrue because, like I said, if you made it through that course, then clearly you had a commitment to learning and education. So my solution to that was, okay, if they still have an issue with it, then anyone who has a degree that is a science-based degree are the ones that should be grandfathered in. And if you don't have a science-based degree, then you shouldn't be allowed to get an LMT whether you have a degree or not. And this has nothing to do with being grandfathered. This is just in general. So that's how you kill that conversation. But again, we'll see where it goes. So thank you for listening. I greatly appreciate it. And I hope to hear from you guys the next time that I'm on. And I will also post ahead, if possible, to let you know when I'll be on, or I'll just tag everybody that I can think of to tag so you guys will know. And you can share the link with others. And also remember to hit follow. And you do not have to create an account to follow any radio blog on Blog Talk Radio, okay? It appears that way, but you don't have to do that. You can literally just follow the blogger, radio blogger that you want to follow. So again, thanks again. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your week. Stay positive. And we're going to go out with a little Stevie Wonder, Love's in Need of Love.